You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. All over the United States, ladies and gentlemen, today there have been memorial services, people remembering various events, various deaths and conflicts. There have been bomb threats almost everywhere. And I believe that 99.9% of them were promulgated by wackos, lunatic, airhead no-account nothings in an attempt to gain a little giggle at the expense of everyone else. At least one of them, apparently, is serious, and that is Texas City, where they have already found at least two of the promised three fake bombs. And, of course, the caller said that there would be at least three that are real. And I sincerely hope that that is not true. I hope nothing blows up, and I hope no one is hurt. For something that cannot possibly gain anyone anything whatsoever. Most of the memorial services and remembrances across the country have been of the victims of the bombing of the Muir Federal Building in Oklahoma City. And I think every one of us have paused at least once or twice today to remember those victims and to say a prayer on their behalf and to sincerely hope that nothing like that ever happens in this country again. I think that almost everywhere we turned today, and certainly on all of the news media, that event was brought home to all of us. And almost every official, from dog catcher to president of the United States, has had something to say about it. But something was conspicuously missing, ladies and gentlemen. And I hope to make up for that during this broadcast, during this hour, tonight. You see, the federal government, or at least members of the socialist movement within various agencies of the United States government, have been killing people on April the 19th for many years. At least four that we know of. Excuse me, I should say five that we know of, possibly six. And no one that I saw today, other than the memorial service in Waco, Texas, for the Branch Davidians, has said anything in their behalf. The turnout for the memorial service in Waco, Texas, was small. And I think part of the reason is that it was held in Waco, Texas, for I and many others will not step foot in that town. We We will not visit Waco, Texas. We will not purchase anything that was made in Waco, Texas. We will not order anything from a company that has its headquarters in Waco, Texas. I won't even speak to anyone who lives in Waco, Texas. Unless they lived there before the massacre of the Branch Davidians took place. Simply because I was there, ladies and gentlemen. I was there on the scene covering the events in Waco, Texas on this broadcast. It was this broadcast that warned the world. Oh, there were some local Texas stations covering the event. But by and large, they were acting as the lackeys of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, except for one, which was attempting to broadcast the truth. But it was all local. This is the only international broadcast that told the truth about Waco, Texas, and told it from Waco, Texas, while it was happening. And I can tell you that the citizens of Waco, Texas, in my estimation, every single one of them who were there during that time and who live there now, whether they were there during that time or not, should be segregated from the rest of the society of this world on some desert island and just left there. Waco, Texas should be bulldozed. Chemicals should be sprinkled over the ground so nothing can grow there ever. Ever again. And the fence should be put up around it so that no one, not even accidentally, ever has to enter that evil place. Because I saw a citizenry turn against their neighbors for no reason whatsoever, other than that it was the politically correct thing to do at the moment. I saw them partying and reveling in the money that the looky-loos and the curiosity seekers brought to Waco, Texas. And I saw a giant billboard placed alongside the highway which said, "The city of Waco thanks the FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms for bringing so much business to Waco, Texas." And all of a sudden, I didn't like anyone in Waco, Texas. From that day forward, I do not like anyone from Waco, Texas today. I will never like anyone from Waco, Texas. I will never like Waco, Texas. Those people showed me the evil that exists in the hearts of men and women without any help from any devil or anyone called Satan or anything else. It is there. And they gave it free rein. And they loved every minute of it. They relished the pain of their neighbors. They sucked up every penny and every dollar that they could get out of that event. They demonized people that for their whole experience with them had been as good neighbors. They hadn't caused anybody any trouble. The children were bright and happy, intelligent, and way ahead of the children who were taught in the public schools. They practiced their religion, didn't try to shove it down anyone else's throat. They did their business in the local stores and restaurants. And contributed to the life of the community. They were different, to be sure. Their religion was different, to be sure. But our founding fathers left the old world to come to this continent to escape religious persecution. And in their day, they were the cults and the outcasts and the weirdos. And they were different, to be sure. They believed in something called freedom. They were revolutionaries. To their homeland, they were traitors. And in all their weirdness and their difference, to be sure, and even though they were wackos and extreme left-wing liberals and revolutionaries and believed in some strange idea called freedom, they built the greatest and freest nation with the most prosperous citizenry, who had the greatest opportunities, and indeed have been the only truly free people who have ever lived in the history of the entire human race. What was it that the Branch Davidians did that was so wrong? Nobody has ever quite figured it out, because nobody was ever prosecuted for anything that they were accused of that prompted, or that they say prompted, the vicious, murderous attack mounted by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms on February the 28th, 1993. The affidavit and warrant that was given to us as the reason that the raid was made has been found to be defective, fraudulent, and in fact, ladies and gentlemen, mostly an outright lie. They had no grenades, although they had some materials that could have been made into grenades. They had no grenades. And anyone can buy any of those materials from surplus catalogs all across the country. I know at least four people in this town right here who have these hollowed out inert grenades sitting on their desk in their home as novelty pieces. The Branch Davidians had not made any active or live grenades. Why they had those parts, I don't know. It's none of my business. It is perfectly legal to own them. One of the methods by which they funded their church and fed themselves and paid their taxes on their land was through buying and selling guns at gun shows throughout the state of Texas and in a few of the surrounding states. All perfectly legal. They had federal firearms licenses. They had a right to own the weapons that they owned and to engage in the business in which they were engaged. They also did mechanic work. They had a band that sometimes played at events, and probably a few other methods of making ends meet. None of it was illegal or wrong. So when all of those myths were dispelled about machine guns and 50 caliber machine guns and rocket launchers and grenades and all of the other lies, because they were lies, the Branch Davidians owned none of those things. None of them whatsoever. They had some semi-automatic weapons, and they had purchased what is known as a Hellfire trigger, which anyone today can purchase. It is legal. You attach it to the trigger of a semi-automatic weapon, and it will fire off several rounds fast enough to make somebody who hears it think it's a machine gun or an automatic weapon, when in fact it is not. Many people across this country possess Hellfire triggers as a novelty device for their firearms, and they go out to the range and have a few kicks shooting off some fast rounds from a semi-automatic weapon. If there was something dangerous about it, ladies and gentlemen, it would have been made illegal long, long ago, but it never has been, it is not now, and probably never will be. So then, what was the reason for the raid? I was digging through some of my old boxes and materials that I have. Several years ago, I was invited to speak at Wembley in London, England. It's a place where usually kings and popes speak, Nobel Prize winners, and the like. It was a great honor for me to be invited to speak at Wembley, and of course I accepted, and I did. While I was there, I was approached by some people whom I didn't know, who were English citizens, and at least one of them was from Australia. They belonged to a religious group, and they asked me to help them. I told them there's no way that I could help them because they lived in England and Australia, and there's nothing I could do in any way, shape, or form. But they gave me some of their literature, and they told me, in their exact words, this is what they said, quote, "They are after our children," end quote. And quote, "They want our children," end quote. And quote, "They want to take our children away from us," end quote. I didn't know who they were then. I did not read the papers that they gave me. I stuck them in my briefcase, brought them back to the United States, where they went into a box. Just the other day, I found them. And this was long before Waco, Texas. I wish now that I had paid more attention to those people, because they were members of the Church of the Branch Davidian. And that's one of the reasons for tonight's broadcast. Maybe I could have done something. I am at a loss to think of anything that I could have done. I certainly could not have anticipated Waco, nor did I even know that there was a church called Branch Davidian in Waco, nor did any of these papers and flyers that the Branch Davidians in England and from Australia gave me while I was visiting London and speaking at Wembley. But in light of their predictions, I think that they were most probably right. Because the next things that were said about the Branch Davidians when all of the previous lies would not fly. You see, Americans found themselves on February the 28th watching their television sets in utter disbelief as an agency of the federal government assaulted a church in Texas with guns blazing, helicopters firing down through the roof. And then we watched in utter amazement as these people bravely took up arms in defense of themselves and their church. And literally kicked the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco and Firearms ass right in front of us. And we saw them with hands in the air backing away from that church after four of their number had been killed and many others wounded. In the initial assault, when they piled out of their cattle cars and began firing at the Branch Davidians through the walls, while three helicopters came over the horizon and began firing down through the roof, a very, very brave David Koresh, in the face of all of this fire, opened the front door of the church and stuck his body half out as a target, waved his arms, and pleaded for them to stop, saying, "There's women and children in here. Stop. Don't shoot. Stop. Let's talk about this. Please. Don't do this. There are women and children in here." They shot David Koresh in the stomach. He was shot in the wrist. One of his friends standing close to him, behind him in the doorway, was shot and killed. The Branch Davidians immediately slammed the door and grabbed their weapons and defended themselves and their women and their children and their church and their rights as all Americans have done when attacked in the history of this country. And when all of the accusations that were made against them didn't fly, the American people didn't believe it, because they said the warrant was only for David Koresh, and they could have got him anytime they wanted to, because he frequently went to town alone. One time, when the local sheriff was concerned that the Branch Davidians had some illegal weapons because some accusations had been made, the sheriff called David Koresh, and he said, he went right into town to see the sheriff. Went directly to the sheriff's office. The sheriff and some deputies came out and inspected their weapons and took a whole bunch of weapons back with them to be inspected and found that they had no illegal weapons whatsoever of any kind and returned them all to the Branch Davidians. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms knew this. The same organizations that had made the accusations about the weapons against the Branch Davidians then began to make accusations that they were child abusers and child molesters. The Child Welfare Bureau of the state of Texas sent professional, competent investigators to check this out. All of the records that we have been able to obtain, and we've been able to obtain all of them, ladies and gentlemen, say very clearly that there was no substantiation to any of the accusations or allegations whatsoever. In fact, the investigators said that they had never seen a group of happier, more well-adjusted, or more well-educated children anywhere. The children showed no signs of psychosis, no signs of abuse. They were happy and smiling and played well, responded well, and they were well disciplined. and they were well versed in the Bible. And then all of a sudden we began to hear accusations that David Koresh was sleeping with all of the women. That's really strange, ladies and gentlemen, because I think in every city in this entire country, every small town, every burg, every borough, every four corners, there's somebody sleeping with all the women. But nobody is assaulting them with guns drawn, firing, and helicopters firing down through their roofs are burning them to death. So we know that wasn't it, because nobody really cares about that. That's their business. And if that's why they went after David Koresh, how come the Mormon Church is still in operation? If that's the reason to kill a group of people, to kill a church, kill a religion, then the Mormon Church would have been destroyed many, many years ago. And there are many towns in Utah and in the states around Utah where they are still practicing polygamy, ladies and gentlemen. And who cares? They have to answer to God for their actions, not me. And if they're not hurting the person or property of anybody else in this world, it is none of my business and it is none of your business. If they are consenting adults, they are acting within the law, whether it violates your moral principles or not. And the United States government, in the person of the Federal Bureau of Investigation or the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, had no business whatsoever hurting any of those people for any of the reasons that they gave. If it were true that they had illegal weapons, it was a matter for the local sheriff and the local police department, whoever had jurisdiction. And since they're just outside the city limits, it would have been the sheriff. The sheriff had a good rapport with David Koresh, had already examined all of the weapons at Mount Carmel and found them all to be legal and lawful and not in violation of any law of anybody. The Child Welfare Services had investigated the allegations of child abuse and child molestation and found them groundless and that it was not true. No substantiation whatsoever, and even said that they had never seen a more well-adjusted, well-educated, well-behaved bunch of children in their entire history. That speaks well for the Branch Davidians, very well, considering the children of those who persecuted and murdered them are just a bunch of uneducated, ignorant, illiterate, spoiled brats in most cases. Not all cases, but most. And as for the allegations of grown men sleeping with grown women, who cares? And if there were allegations of grown men sleeping with teenage women, if that is their religion and they're all in that religion consensually, who cares? How many states in the South say it's okay to sleep with a 13-year-old girl? I know that there is at least two, ladies and gentlemen, and in some cases the law turns its head in those states for girls much younger. Although I do not condone it, and I know most of you would not condone it, when it comes right down to it in their community, it's none of our business. Any of those people could have left at any time that they wanted to. How do I know that? We have a tape made by the Branch Davidians, ladies and gentlemen. A videotape that was made by them during the siege. During the siege. Most of you have never seen it. Some of you have. It is their own testimony on videotape in their own words, under no coercion, nobody's pointing a gun to their head, and they tell their own story. We call it the Branch Davidians' last will and testament. For all but one of those on that videotape are dead. Now, this Waco massacre was not the first time that this had occurred, ladies and gentlemen. It had occurred several times before, once in another religious community in a plain state, which was resolved by the people surrendering. It all occurred on April the 19th. And the leader went to jail. And I'm not going to get too deeply into that because nobody was killed, nobody was shot, nobody was anything.
thank God. There was the Randy Weaver episode. Randy Weaver and his wife, Vicky, his son, and three daughters, one of whom was only a small baby. And in fact, wasn't even born when the events leading up to this occurred. You see, Randy Weaver was approached by a BATF informant who sold him a shotgun that was 1/4 inch under the legal length of the barrel. I don't know anybody that can look at the barrel of a shotgun and tell within 1/4 inch whether it's a legal length or not. And if it was 1/4 inch under, it would probably look like it was right about the right size. And unless you suspected or could see saw marks or something on that barrel, you would never think to even measure it, unless it obviously looked short. So Randy Weaver purchased that shotgun, and later another BATF informant coached Randy into selling it to him, knowing full well that it was 1/4 inch too short of the legal limit, and that he had obtained it from them in the first place. These people are scum, sucking, lying, deceiving pigs. They are, in fact, Nazi jackbooted thugs, just exactly as they have been labeled by others many months ago. So they arrested Randy Weaver and took him into jail and told him that if he would agree to be a spy on his neighbors, they would reduce the charge to a minor charge and put him on parole for a certain period of time, which means he would have to cooperate, or they could just get him for violating his parole, which means that they could say he did anything that they wanted him to have done and put him in jail. Randy Weaver said no, he wasn't going to spy on anybody. He wasn't a spy, he wasn't a rat, he wasn't an informant, and wasn't going to be. They told him if he did not, that they were going to put him away forever. He refused. So he knew if he came in to try to defend himself on the court date, that there was nothing in the world that was going to save him. So he took his family. He did what I would have done and what many other people would have done. He left. He got out of that state. He went to Idaho. He found a little isolated cabin up in the mountains, and he placed his family in that cabin, and except for a very few very necessary trips to town, they stayed there. All the while in fear for their lives, afraid of these Nazi jackbooted thugs who had vowed that they were going to put him away forever if he didn't cooperate with them. And then, on one fateful day, they caught up with him. They shot his son in the back and killed him. They shot his dog, his son's dog. A despicable worm, lower than a worm. He's an evil, terrible, dirty person named Lon Horiuchi. a sniper for the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Can you believe this? They have snipers to use against the American people now. Set himself up within 100 feet of the cabin. And when Randy and his friend came out to go to the birthing shed where they had placed the body of his son to prepare him for burial, they opened up on Randy Weaver and his buddy, wounded them both. As they ran back to get into the cabin, Vicki Weaver was standing in the doorway holding her baby to her breast, unarmed, not wanted for anything, had never committed any crimes in her life. Lon Horiuchi, this despicable worm, this FBI sniper, can you imagine someone would really set out to become a cold-blooded assassin, because that's what a sniper is, if his country was not at war and it was not necessary for him to be something like that? Can you imagine the mental condition of someone who actually set out to, wanted to be, volunteered for it and trained for the fateful day when he would shoot and kill an unarmed, unwanted mother holding her baby to her breast in the doorway of her cabin for nothing more, ladies and gentlemen, than 1/4 of an inch of a barrel of a shotgun that was never used in the commission of any crime, that was sold to Randy Weaver by the BATF and purchased back from him by the BATF just so they could entrap him and threaten him and force him and coerce him into turning into an informant on his friends and neighbors. And you ask me why I don't like these people? If I've got to explain it to you, then there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong with your mind. And then, ladies and gentlemen, just like they've always done in their history, they had filled a big rubber bladder full of fuel in a clearing and were attaching it to a helicopter so they could drop this bladder of fuel onto the roof of the cabin where it would then break, drenching the home in fuel, where they would then set it on fire and burn them all alive, including the baby, the two young daughters, Randy and his friend, and of course his son was already dead, and his wife lay dead in a giant pool of blood in their cabin. They literally had to pry the baby from her arms, for she truly had a death grip on that baby. And the last thing that she probably consciously did was to make sure that when she fell, that she was holding her baby tightly so that the baby would not fall and injure itself. And she made sure that she fell on her back so that the baby would be cushioned by her body, and then she died. And you want to know what I don't like about these people? I want to know where they get them. Where do they find such scum? What sewers do they crawl through to recruit these people from? How do they justify to themselves, and I doubt if they do, I believe sincerely that they are selected from psychological examinations which tell those who are hiring them that they are true sociopaths and have no conscience whatsoever, will follow any orders that they are given, and will not even blink an eye. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, these are excellent candidates for mental hospitals. That was another April the 19th, ladies and gentlemen. And then there was the Oklahoma City bombing, which was carried out by the same people for the same reasons, to serve the same agenda. It was the American Reichstag. The Oklahoma City Mura Federal Building was blown up by the agents of international socialism. It was the American Reichstag. It was the instrument by which the anti-terrorism bill that would never have had a chance of passing in America in a million years to be realized, to be passed, to signal the death knell of the Bill of Rights and the freedoms of the American people. It establishes the police state. Recently, the director of FEMA was made a full cabinet member. The anti-terrorism bill provides for the merging of law enforcement into a national police force. It calls for a domestic anti-terrorism unit. It calls for phone taps on a massive scale. And many, many other things, ladies and gentlemen, that you have not the slightest idea of how badly it's going to affect your liberties. It is not meant to identify and call out terrorists, domestic terrorists of any kind, for all of those laws have been on the books for many years. There is nothing that a terrorist can do that is not illegal, ladies and gentlemen. He can't even talk about what he's going to do with someone else without it being illegal, because it constitutes then conspiracy. No, this anti-terrorism bill and other legislation that still is going to be passed in the future of a more draconian nature will be aimed at the political opponents of socialism and the one-world totalitarian socialist state. In other words, you and I. Marx said peace is the absence of opposition to socialism. And that's really what this is all about. Why do you think patriots are being demonized in this country where patriotism has been revered since its inception? Why do you think the militias are being vilified when the militias are the entire and sole reason for the existence of this country? It is the militias that have fought all the battles on this nation's soil, ladies and gentlemen. The militias fought the Revolutionary War that created this country. The militias fought the Indian Wars. The militias, ladies and gentlemen, fought against the British in 1812. The militias, ladies and gentlemen, made up the contingents of both the Northern and the Southern armies that fought the Civil War. A modern-day militia in a southern state, ladies and gentlemen, routed out years of corruption and restored an honest vote to the people of that city. But not until the militia engaged them in a terrible firefight and beat them unmercifully and held them at bay until the National Guard could arrive on the scene and arrest the criminals who had held this town in a reign of terror for many years and had rigged every ballot of every election that had ever been held. Why do you think they want to disarm the American people, ladies and gentlemen? Disarming law-abiding citizens does not prevent crime. And criminals do not obey the law. And in states where it is known that everyone carries a gun, there is very little, if any, crime. Many law enforcement officers have been saved by citizens with guns. Every year, thousands of citizens are saved from death, injury, or the theft of their property simply because they have a gun, and most of those guns are not fired, just shown, just held up in view. In Florida now, that they have the most liberal concealed carry law of the nation, criminals do not assault Floridians. They do not hijack cars that have Florida license plates because they know that the citizens of Florida are now armed. They look for rental cars and out-of-state plates and tourists from other countries because they don't want to get shot. Why do you think these socialist, airheaded idiots have to constantly and consistently and blatantly lie every time they open their mouths? It's because they can't win any other way. I was sickened to death knowing the reason for the Oklahoma Murrah federal building bombing and who actually perpetrated it and how. And believe me, we know that now, and it will all be disclosed. Knowing all of that, and knowing that the symbol of the perpetrators is one red rose, to watch them laugh and mock the citizens and the victims of the Oklahoma City bombing as they all trooped in for their memorial service after that bombing, handing them each a red rose, and watching Hillary and William Clinton sitting there holding that one red rose up to their chin and under their nose and displaying it so that every time a photograph was taken, it was taken with them holding that one red rose. And when he made his speech during that memorial service to talk about those who had sacrificed, for that's what it was. The spring human sacrifice of the old mystery religion of Babylon and ancient Rome and all of the pagan religions of the history of the world to ensure the fruitfulness of their endeavor and bless their new world order. Socialism, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most terrible, most despicable afflictions, plagues, if you will, that has ever descended upon mankind. It robs humanity of everything good. It robs the individual of his self-worth. It takes away determination and opportunity. It makes everyone a victim and the state the great benefactor and protector of all of the slaves beneath it. Indeed, the government under socialism becomes the only important thing in the world. And any one or any number of people can be sacrificed for the safety and security of the state. It amazes me that people buy into it. It amazes me that people don't understand that the only answer to the world's problems is a true, true inner spirituality. A disaffection with all of the things that we think we need. For if you think you need security, you will become the slave of the one who provides that security. If you think you must have a steak and lobster every night, you become a slave to the means of obtaining that steak and lobster every night. If you think you cannot live without a great, big, comfortable home with running water and flushing toilets and comfortable couches and the big boob tube in your living room, then you are a slave to all that it takes to obtain the money to keep that house and keep that house up and pay the taxes on that house. And if you cannot support yourself or take care of yourself, if you do not understand the meaning of freedom, and you must exist on the benevolence of Big Brother, then you are a slave to Big Brother, and whatever Big Brother demands of you, you must accomplish. So for all those who have died on April the 19th, and all of the previous years, and this April the 19th is not over yet, ladies and gentlemen, do not stop praying. And because we've all caught on to it and what it means and what it brings and who's bringing it about, it is not inconceivable that a terrible catastrophe could still happen within the next several days. So maintain your prayer vigil. And maintain your watchfulness and your personal security. If you are a known patriot or militia member, stay away from law enforcement or military and out of situations that could cause you to become embroiled in any kind of incident. And remember, the next time it could and maybe will be you. Good night, and God bless you all.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
For all of you who may be listening, who are members of federal agencies, the military, or law enforcement, hear this and hear it well. There will never, ever be another Waco. And if you try it, if you live, you will seriously and forever regret it. That is a pledge of the American people.